Let me, for a few minutes this morning, share with you a portion of the Word of the Lord. Fourth chapter of the book of John. This is the portion of the Word of the Lord where that Jesus speaks unto the Samaritan woman who had come to the well to Jacob to draw water. And I want you to keep that in mind. That's what she came for. But she forgot what she came after and went away without the water. And I tell people sometimes the reason she did, she was so excited about her encounter with the Lord. And I think sometimes that it wouldn't hurt if we were a little more excited about our encounters with the Lord, and that we could say more with the Apostle Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." But this woman, first of all, when she encountered the Lord, she was puzzled that he would have anything to do with her, because she was a Samaritan woman and he was a Jew. And the Jews did not have anything to do with the Samaritans. If we're not awful careful as God's people, we can leave the impression with lost people that we don't want to have anything to do with them, that for whatever reason we're a little better than they are. And I don't know that that's always intentional or deliberate, but it comes across that way many times, folks. And so I think we have to be very careful about that. And I think the other thing that we have to remember is that we once were lost ourselves. And I can very well remember, you know, how I felt when I was lost. And I didn't necessarily know that that saved people thought they weren't better than I was, but I certainly knew how miserable it was to be lost. And we lose sight of that fact sometimes, and it's awfully easy for us to, is to kind of get carried away in what we're doing and what we're thinking, and forget that there are people that we need to be able to relate to and associate with, and that we can't just entirely separate ourselves from them and say, you know, we're above them. We're not. Anyway, this woman, when she came here to the well to draw water, and Jesus was sitting there resting because he was tired. He had been doing a lot of work, and he came here to rest. And the other disciples had gone off. He'd sent them off on some errands. And so he's sitting here alone, and this woman comes up. Now, you can read the entire chapter. You'll need to read it all after you go home, but don't try to catch it all up on me here now. I want you to have a little homework. And I said, you know, not long ago that... you know, probably if you're sitting there reading, you aren't paying attention to what I'm saying anyway. And Joyce, I won't take an hour, I promise. And I do watch the clock, you know that. And some of our old preachers should have watched the clock a little more. Some of them, you know, I can remember one in particular that, man, he didn't think if he had an hour to preach that he'd had enough time. He thought he'd been cheated a little bit if he didn't get to preach an hour. Now, you all get up and walk out on me if I was to preach an hour today. I know that. Well, maybe not all of you, but most of you would. And if you didn't, you'd be thinking about it anyway. So I know these things. I've been there myself. Lee and I used to, once in a while, we'd have to go to church. There was a particular lady. When they called on her to pray, we'd look to see what the time was. We liked the timer because, boy, she could pray for a long, long time. And we didn't care about what she said. We could care less, but it was kind of interesting to see how long she was going to go. We knew she was going to go for a long time. Anyway, this woman was puzzled that the Lord wouldn't have anything to do with her, and so he asked her for a drink of water, and she was puzzled about that. And so then he said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was that you were talking with, you know, you would have asked of me, and I would have given you living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, as a Baptist, I make no apologies whatsoever. And whether I'm a Baptist or not, I still would make no apologies for preaching the security of the believer. I get a little disturbed and perturbed with people who think the Lord's going to give them something and then turn around and take it back from them. Now, that's not the way the Lord operates. I have people all the time who operate that way. You know, so I really never know sometimes whether they've given me something or not. If I give you something, I've given it to you. It's yours. You do whatever you want to with it. If you don't like it, just throw it away. But you don't have to come back and say to me, well, I don't like it, I'm going to give it back to you. I don't want it back. I gave it to you. And it wasn't that necessarily it wasn't something I didn't want myself, but you know, I'm not putting those strings on it. Churches many times receive gifts with all kinds of stipulations, and sometimes we can't accept the things that are being conditioned upon the receipt of that gift. And so if you're going to give, don't give to the Lord and say, now, Lord, I'm giving to you, but I want to kind of tell you where I want it to go and how I want it to be used, and you know, and I may want it back. When the Lord gave you salvation, He didn't say, now, I'm going to give this to you, and if you're a good person, you can keep it. But if you're not, I'm going to take it back. He can't do that. He wouldn't do that. He won't do that. And it would be impossible for Him to do that and still be God. Now, we need to understand that. And I know some of you are already sitting there thinking, you're thinking of all the worst sins that you can think of. And if those people commit those sins, how in the world could they then possibly be saved? Well, if they're ever saved, they're still saved. They're still His child. And Jesus said to this woman, if I give you to drink of the water that I'm speaking about, you will never thirst again. Didn't say, well, after a while, you may need to have to come back and get another shot of it. He said, you will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said, you know, it'll be a well of water springing up. Now, today a lot of our people say, well, that was an artesian well. I've seen one or two artesian wells in my lifetime. I'm not really an expert. I don't know much about it, but I understand the concept and everything, but I do understand that, you know, it's bubbling up a bit. I kind of bubbled over a while ago whenever you were singing, it is well with my soul, because boy, that I can sing with assurance and know that it is well with my soul. How thankful I am this morning for that, you know. But you know, there are times in my life where that I can't sing that with as much feeling and as much emotion as I can feel this morning. But there are some times whenever I'm troubled. But it doesn't mean that I've lost it all. It doesn't mean that the Lord has said, well, you got to take it back, buddy. I wouldn't have been able to have had my salvation for 15 minutes if it had been left up to me to keep. Neither would you. Some of you think you're better than that, but you're not. You couldn't do any better job of keeping it than I can. I'm glad God doesn't leave it in our hands. But He said, you know, it'll be a well of water springing up within you, you know, and it needs to bubble up once in a while. And we need to feel that good feeling sometimes. Not just all the time. I'm just as skeptical of those who are just like, hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time, as I am those who you'd think they never got anything in their life. Sometimes I see through those and they're as fake as a $3 bill. And I don't have much patience with them. Because either one or two of the things, they're as I used to tell Shirley every once in a while, you're going to have to wake up and live in the real world. And then after a while, Shirley got to where she said to me, let me tell you something. Maybe she'd do something, and I thought, maybe you shouldn't have said that, or maybe you shouldn't have done this. You know what? You told me to wake up and live in the real world. And I have. And so, you know, I think sometimes these people who are just out there, la-la-la, and all of that, they're not in the real world. They're not with the rest of us. And so, you know, I don't have a great amount of confidence in them, but I do know this. I know that from time to time, the Lord's going to give us enough that, you know, it'll just kind of bubble up within us and we'll feel good about it. Not every day. Not every day. There are going to be some down times. There's no question about that. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, that thou saidest thou truly. Now I want you to remember what Jesus said to her. You know, he said, go tell your husband. She said, Well, I don't have a husband. He said, You're right, you don't. You've had five. And the guy you're now living with, he's not your husband. Now, all you holy Baptists, be careful. Don't get too critical here. He didn't criticize her. No more than he did the prostitute who they brought to him one time. He didn't criticize her. He said, Go and sin. No more. But he said, Where are those thine accusers? You know, we're very guilty of being judgmental, and we want to pass judgment on people, and everybody doesn't just toe the mark as we do. We can understand that. Now, I'm a person who believes in marriage. I guarantee you that. I truly do. I told someone not long ago, I was visiting with these dear friends of mine. I said, Well, I've performed a couple of ceremonies where that I didn't legally marry the people. Well, you all didn't know that, did you? And I said, You what? I said, Yeah. They wanted, you know, to have this ceremony so that they could feel like they were married. But they didn't want to get legally married. Now, some of you can't figure that out. Now, I've lost you through the whole rest of my sermon. You're going to sit there the rest of the sermon and try to figure that out. Well, come to me after this, and I'll explain a little more for those who can't figure it out. But I didn't mean to get off on that. Now then, this will be all over everywhere. Well, there's nothing illegal about it, what I did. It's just that it's recognized as a lawful wedding ceremony by the laws of the state of Missouri. Okay? And some of you wouldn't agree with that. And that's okay. I've got a lot of preacher brethren that won't marry anybody that's been divorced. And that's their call. That's their business. They don't want to do it. That's fine. I don't agree with them. Didn't hear any amens. That's all right. Anyway, Jesus said to the woman, says, No, you don't have a husband. You had five, and the one you're living with is not your husband. Now, that's what he told her. Now, listen. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Even as he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with thou? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, remember I told you she came here to draw water and she forgot what she came after. She was so excited about having met the Lord and what he said to her that she left her water pot there and she went into the city telling other people, said, Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Did he tell her everything that she had ever done? No. No, he didn't. He just told her that the man she was living with was not her husband. But don't you think for a second that if she knew, he knew that much about her, he knew everything about her. And don't you think for a second, if the Lord knows one little thing about us, he knows everything about us. Amen. Yeah, he does. He knows that whether we want him to or not. And we may acknowledge it. But the point that I want you to understand this morning is that this woman was so excited about what Jesus had said to her. And after that, she had received that living water. You know, she said, well, give it to me. You know, I want that. And he gave her that living water, and she was so excited about it, she forgot what she came after. Every once in a while, I hope that we can get excited enough about the Lord that we can be beside ourselves and forget all the formalities and all of the procedures and all the things that everybody, the expectations everyone has of us, and just say, you know what? I just love to tell people about the Lord. I want somebody else to know about him. I want them to have that. And she went to the city and sang to all of the men. She said, come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so then they went out. They went out. Now for those of you who say, well, you know, my testimony doesn't amount to much, or I'm not very effective when it comes to witnessing. Well, I wish some of you would forget all of this formal thing of witnessing. We've got too many teachers and too many preachers today who are telling you the plan and telling you the method. I'll tell you the plan and the method that'll work most effectively is when God speaks to your heart and out of love, you carry the message to somebody else. Not out of procedure, not out of the paper, not out of the book, not after what the preacher said, but just truly from your heart. It'll get the job done. Yeah. And they'll want the same thing you have. If you're excited enough about it, if you haven't got anything that's worth getting excited about, then probably they're not going to want it. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. And the Bible says then they went out from the city and they listened to the Lord. And many of them believed. Now, I've got to finish. And so that's part of your homework when you go back and read the fourth chapter. And then the Bible says, and many of them believed. But you know what they said? Now we believe not because of what you have said, but because we have seen him and heard him ourselves. Yeah. They said, you know, we went out there and we heard him firsthand. I don't want people to take, you know, secondhand what I've experienced. I want them to have experience firsthand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them to have their own experience. I want them to have that experience that the Lord wants them to have with him, not with me or not like mine. I want it to be theirs. You should want it to be, you know, you've got your own. And you need to say, Lord, thank you that you gave me the experience that you did, that I'm one of your children, that I have that everlasting water bubbling up within me, and every once in a while it overflows. It's kind of like the fellow who got up here at the last little special service we had and said he was drinking from his saucer because his cup was overrunning. Yeah. Now, some of you probably can't relate to that because you don't even remember when you used to have cups and saucers. We just have cups anymore. We don't want those saucers to go along because that's just another piece we have to wash. But you get the gist of what he was saying. This lady was so excited about her experience with the Lord that she shared it with other people. And then they said, now then, we believe, not because of what you've said, but because what we've heard for ourselves, and we know. I don't want people to take my word for it. I want them to have the experience themselves. So read again the fourth chapter of Big John.